I just want us to take a moment to reflect on what is going on in the world right now, because I think the only way we could say it is that everything is being shaken. Is that anyone else get that? Everything is being shaken. And many of you won't remember this, but in 1997, a lady called Ginny Bergen, who's a member of the New Frontiers Church up in Sheffield, felt that God was saying to her that the nation was going to go into a time of mourning, and that people would know that this was a word from God because the cities would be covered in flowers, and that out of that mourning, God would bring this nation into a time of great joy. That was in May 1997. Of course, in September 1997, Diana was killed. And what everyone thought couldn't happen was suddenly happening. The city of London was covered, and cities across the nation were covered in flowers. And actually, Ginny's prophecy went into the national newspapers. It was that dramatic. And it was reported in the Telegraph and the Times as no one knew what to make of it, just that God had predicted that this would happen in advance. Well, I stood up and noticed when in May 2007, Ginny, at a New Frontiers event, stood up to prophesy again. And I want to read something. I've got your interest now, haven't I? I want to read something of it to you. I've spoken these things to you. So this is Ginny speaking what she feels God is saying to us as churches in the UK, May 2007. I've spoken these things to you so that you may know that that which cannot be shaken will be that which will remain. For a shaking is coming in this nation, says the Lord. It's time for this nation to seek the Lord. And I tell you that that which has been unprecedented is the beginning of many unprecedented things which will happen in this nation. For I tell you, great challenges will come, challenges that challenge every part of where a man puts his security. For even as shoppers go out in their materialism, they will be faced with eternity. For I tell you, it is time now for this nation to begin to seek the Lord. And I tell you, unprecedented things will happen in government. Unprecedented things will happen in the heavens over this nation. For I tell you, I'm about to move in this nation in a way that has not yet been seen in your day. May 2007. September 2007, Northern Rock starts to go under. Something unprecedented starts to happen. Something that just could not happen starts to happen. And if you remember the scenes, everyone rushing to get their money out of Northern Rock. And anyone who didn't have money in Northern Rock was thinking, I knew we could never trust those Northerners. And desperately trying to get their money out. Well, then a few months later, suddenly everyone's trying to get their money back into Northern Rock. And the Northerners are feeling really smug about where their money is now, because they were the only bank that was government-backed. And in fact, it got to the point where Northern Rock would not open any new accounts. Unprecedented things are happening. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. You can't help saying two things. One, hurrah for Bolton and the North, because they're okay right now. But two, what Ginny predicted is starting to happen in our nation. The nation has been shaken. And I want us just to look as we start this year. How should we respond? Clearly, God is involved with what's going on. This is not just by chance. This is not just something that's a coincidence or something that's going to pass quickly. God is involved. This is not just even about money. This is about a spiritual shaking that's happening in our nation. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Because this passage writes about what to do when things are shaken. And so we're going to read Hebrews 12 and make some comment. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that things that cannot be shaken may remain. This passage was written in around AD 60, 2,000 years or so ago. And it's an echo of a previous passage that was written 500 years before. It's a passage from a prophet called Haggai. And Haggai wrote about a shaking on the planet. He wrote about a shaking that was going to come to the nation of Israel and the nations surrounding. And he wrote this: "Thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of the nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord." What he's saying is this: God himself will come and will shake the nations so that treasure, literally gold, literally wealth, will flow out of the nations and will flow into Israel. Israel at the time was a deprived, a depressed, an overtaken nation. And God was saying, I'm going to take the resources of the planet and bring them into Israel. I used to love, when I was a kid, those machines where you put the penny and watch it drop down, and then the thing moves backwards and forwards, and then they fall off. Everyone done that? And you used to work out when you're that age that if you nudged it, sometimes the pennies would drop off. You nudge it too hard, the alarm went off, and you got kicked out. I heard that happen to someone. And so the pennies would drop out. But literally God is saying, I'm going to grab one of those machines, turn it upside down, and shake the thing. And everything that can be shaken out will be shaken out, and it's all going to come into the nation of Israel. Some of you are thinking, how does that relate to us? Some of you went to the cash point this week and it said insufficient funds, and you thought, is that them or me? You know, it's just everything is up for grabs right now. Anything that you thought you could rely on suddenly can't be relied on anymore. What's the point? Well, in the Old Testament, when you read things, often in the natural, they mirror what's going on in the spirit world in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, you had the nation of Israel and the temple. In the New Testament, you have the church. You have these spiritual things that overlay what was happening in the Old Testament. And the point is this: everything in the nations of the earth is being allowed to be shaken. Why? Why is it being allowed to be shaken? So that treasure, the things of value will come out of the nation and come into the kingdom of God. This is not about money. Paul said to the people of Thessalonica, you are my treasure. You are my crown. This is about people. This is about people. This is about the treasures hidden in the nations coming back to the God who loves them, who made them, who cares for them, and who wants to know them. Who wants them to know him. And that's what it's about. Coming back to Hebrews, this passage we read. So the writer to the Hebrews takes this physical prophecy that applied to Israel 2,500 years ago and says something of a bigger scale is going to happen across the whole planet. Shaking is going to go on. And we've seen shaking through the generations. And we are in a shaking. And the point is this. In Hebrews 12:27, in order that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. That's the point. The things that cannot be shaken are the things that will remain. You know, in the coming days, you're going to hear a lot of people saying, well, this is God judging the nations. And I was listening to a great message by a guy called Clifford Hill over the Christmas period. And he said this: God doesn't have to judge the nations. He simply removes his steadying, protecting hand, and everything that cannot stand will literally shake itself to pieces. This isn't God judging. This is God just removing his hand. And everything that has not got a solid foundation is literally going to shake itself to pieces. Everything based on greed, everything based on corruption, everything based on man's desire to promote himself and be his own God and set his own destiny, everything like that, we are going to see it fall. It's going to come down. And I'm not bringing this to you to scare you, but to bring you confidence that when you see it, you don't get filled with fear. Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Mindless entertainment, we are going to see that shaken. Materialism is going to be shaken. And the church will increasingly see the treasures of the world coming home. The people, the lost people of the world coming home. Remember what Ginny said in her prophecy. For a shaking is coming in this nation, says the Lord, for it is time for this nation to seek the Lord. It's time. It is time. You know, in 2007, we had an unprecedented thing happen We had 7 people give their lives to Christ in a single week. We'd never seen that before. One lady even phoned the church offices and said, God has spoken to me. I need to become a Christian. Can I come in? I can't wait till Sunday. Can I come in now? She came in midweek and gave her life to Christ in the offices. You'd hope that I would happen more in the offices, but sadly it doesn't. 7 people in 1 week. In 2008, we had another unprecedented thing. 10 people gave their lives to Christ in 1 week. Last year we had 25 people give their lives to Christ. 10 of them were in 1 week. I was getting a bit depressed by the time it got to November, thinking, what's going on? And then 10 people came in a single week and decided they could not trust in that stuff anymore. They had to find something that could not be shaken. There was one guy here on a Sunday morning, and he had a fantastic job. He was just about to get married to his lovely new wife. And yet he walked in here and could not stop weeping all the way through the worship. He had to go out. He was so beside himself. Came back in to hear the message, and at the end gave his life to Christ. He had everything, and yet he realized he had nothing until he found Jesus. And so we're going to see the impossible become possible. And I believe God allows us to see these high watermarks, 7 people in a week, 10 people in a week. Why? Because that's going to become the norm. You know, Bill Johnson says, you know, when your mind's renewed, when what's illogical seems possible. And I think that's the case. What used to be unheard of in this nation is going to start to become normal. We should start to expect it, to pray for it, to believe for it, to change our thinking from what we used to think like to what it's going to be like, because it's going to be different. You know, in Acts it says daily they gave their lives to Christ, those who were being called. Well, we're not there yet, but we're closer than we were a couple of years ago. You see, God is not allowing this to harm our nation. It's because he loves our nation. He's not some judgmental being who wants to destroy. He wants to create. But sometimes his creation works best when there's chaos, because other stuff just has to get out of the way so that what he's building can stand on the space that remains. That's what he's doing. And I just want to spend the last couple of minutes looking in this Hebrews passage, because the writer to the Hebrews actually gives us a roadmap. What do you do when everything's been shaken? You know, and this applies to what's going on nationally, internationally right now. But it also applies when your own life gets shaken, when things get shaken, when things you just don't get start happening around you, when it all goes pear-shaped in the same day. Those kind of times, what do you do? Well, the writer to the Hebrews gives us the roadmap. You know, when you want to find the answer to life's questions, you've got to come back to the Bible. It's all there. It's all there. So let's just read on a bit, and we'll just pick out some principles. Verse 28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. When you're in a time where things are being shaken, you've lost your job, things are going, marriage difficulties are coming, things are just out there, everything's happening, the kids are going bouncing around the walls. I mean, I know that's normal life for some of us. But when you're in that season, what do? You start with gratitude and you start with worship. You center yourself again on things that cannot be shaken. Things, the one who cannot be shaken. You live in that place. You look at how big he is. You look at how supreme he is. You just focus yourself. You center on him in gratitude. You're grateful for the smallest things that he has done. You know, I think in our day we've overlooked central heating and running water and all those things. I believe we're going to start to be grateful for them again, because suddenly we start to realize how the rest of the world's been living for decades, for generations. Actually, the things that we've taken for granted, we need to be grateful for. They are gifts from a good God. Be more grateful than ever that this kingdom you're part of is never going to end. Stop looking around back to the world to get your delight again, and start to delight yourself in the only one who can give lasting delight. Start there. And then he writes on, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated since you are in the body. What's the point? After gratitude and worship comes love and hospitality. It's a time to learn how to love again. You know, as the nations are shaken, people are going to come in to the church. And when they come in, we have a one-time opportunity to show them that we have something different. If they come in and see the same infighting and backbiting and critical spirit and gossip that they see out there, they will come in and they will walk straight out again and look for something else. We are going to have a unique opportunity in this year and the coming years to demonstrate that what God has done in us has made us different. And it starts with love and simple hospitality, with remembering the poor, with remembering those who are oppressed and in prison. It starts right there. And why is love the key? Well, it's simple. The Bible says, perfect love drives out fear. You see, when you love someone, however small a way, you do something about the fear in their life. When they receive it, you start to drive out fear. And what happens is that when you love, as you give away what you've received, you are able more to receive God's love. And you become a channel for love. And so the fear in you gets driven out as well. And suddenly, instead of a fear-filled planet, and don't you read the papers and watch the TV and just see fear? It's like toxic fear just coming out of the screen. Well, if you want to get rid of that, start to operate in the opposite spirit. And the opposite spirit is love. It's generosity. It's hospitality. Start to let that stuff flow through you to the world around you. And the fear will be driven out. The greed will be driven out of you and the people that you touch. You will literally change everyone in your sphere of influence. And it's time, I believe, for us to learn to love in a whole new way. I was reading over Christmas a book by about Starbucks. I like coffee, and so I like to read books about coffee. You know, if you can't drink it, you might as well read about it. And so I was reading this book about Starbucks, and Starbucks is quite an inspirational company, actually. The guy who started it, a guy called Harold Schultz, his philosophy was this. He said, we are not in the coffee business serving people. We are in the people business serving coffee. And he said to all his people, I do not want you to give good customer service. I want you to give legendary customer service. At the end of the day, I want people to say about Starbucks, I love that company and I love the people who work for it. He said, it's a big goal, but that's my aim. I thought, wow, gosh, sounds like a church. You should read the stories in this book. It is phenomenal. They don't call their employees, they call them partners, because they believe they're all partnering in this organization that sells coffee and serves people. And so they call them partners. And what Starbucks do is they train their people how to love people. It's simple as that. As I'm reading this book, I'm thinking, these are just principles on how to love people. And so there's a story like, for example, a lady used to come in with her husband every day. And she would have a venti, which is the biggest coffee they do, and a muffin. And they would split it between them. And every day they came in. And then one day the girl, the partner there, noticed they didn't come. And she didn't see them for a few days. And then she bumped into the lady in the supermarket. And she said to her, where have you been? And she said, my husband died. So she said, come back. She said, I can't come back. I just can't. She said, please come to the store tomorrow. And so the next day the lady walked into the store. And she stood in front of the counter. And the girl saw her there. And she said, she just stood there, frozen. And after a while, she said, I don't even know what to order. And she said, I know what you have. You have a venti coffee and a muffin, and I'll come and split it with you. And so she went from behind the counter. This is a coffee shop. This is a coffee shop. Another lady, she was a team leader. She noticed that the state lottery had gone to $87 million. So she said to all her team, come on, let's all just for a bit of fun buy a ticket. So they went round and it was a dollar a ticket. And two of the people couldn't afford it. So she paid for it out of her own wallet. She paid for their tickets. They won $87 million. Do you know what happened? She split it equally between all of them, even though by law she could have kept the whole money because she bought most of the tickets. When CNN interviewed her, the reporter who was shocked that anyone would split that amount of money equally with a team of employees said, why did she do this? She said this, we are a team, and if I didn't, everything I've been working for would be worth nothing. This is a coffee shop. There's something that we need to do about this hospitality thing, about this love thing. It's time for us to take a new step in 2009. I don't know what it is for you, but I know that God is challenging me. Learn to love people again. Learn to love them again. Let's just read on a little bit. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The third principle is this. Replace false comfort with the true comforter. That's what he's saying. In a time where everything gets shaken, what will you see? Sexual immorality will increase. Why? Because people get some form of false comfort out of it. It doesn't last. It's false. It's unstable. But they just run to the thing that they have known. And so sexual immorality, we will see it increase. We're already seeing it increase. It will increase. I can't tell you the number of guys I've talked to over the last few months who've said they're battling with sexual sin again and battling with temptation again like they haven't battled for years. It's on the increase again. Why? Because things are being shaken. When fear comes in, people run for comfort. And the two things they run for in our generation, in our nation, are sex and money and materialism. It's the two things that people have known. And if we're not careful, those are the two things that have infected us as well. And so we need to be aware of those things. We need to be aware that we are a people who are different, that we can get comfort from other places. You know what Jesus used to call the Holy Spirit? The Comforter. The Comforter. This is my question. Have you learned how to allow God to comfort you? You know, when you pray and stuff, is it just all about you kind of doing your thing, religious thing? Or do you allow space for him to come and comfort you? Because you need comfort. Do you know that? You're never too big for a cuddle. You need comfort. And if you don't recognize, and this is hard for guys particularly, but for all of us to understand, if you don't recognize that you need comfort, then inside you've got this big comfort hole, and you will fill that hole one way or another. You will fill it. And so unless you proactively recognize that I need comfort, and I'm going to learn how to get it from God and receive that comfort from him, you'll be walking around with this massive hole, and sooner or later you just won't be able to cope with it anymore, and you'll fill it illicitly, either through materialism or greed or illicit sexual temptation, what sexual sin, whatever it might be, you will fill that hole. And so I would urge us all, and I'm speaking this to myself as much as anyone, learn how to receive comfort from God. You know, Peter Jackson says one of the biggest reason that people get caught with addiction is because they've never learned how to receive comfort from God. They've never learned how to let the Father love them and receive his love to fill that hole. How do you do it? How do you allow God to comfort you? What's the best way? You know, for me, it's getting out into nature. It's walking. I love walking. And I recognize I have not given enough time to it in 2008. And this year I'm going to make a proactive effort to get out and walk, because when I'm out in nature, I receive something from God. It does something in me. I come back fuller than when I went. For others of you, it might be just getting time to in his presence. You know, not just grabbing 5 minutes here or there, but an extended time, or going somewhere where, you know, just we can just worship together. For others, it might be reading. You know, it might not be enough just to do 5 minutes in the Bible now. You might need to take a good... When was the last time you just studied a book of the Bible and just got the commentaries out and really... Because that, for you, is how you receive strength and comfort and fortitude. For others, it's with friends and companions. And God ministers to you through other people. And some of you guys need to get on the phone to a good guy friend and say, I haven't shared my heart openly with anyone for yonks. Whatever it is for you, learn how you receive comfort, because the nation is being shaken, and anything that can be shaken will be shaken. So if you are holding on to false comfort, you are going to get shaken with it until you let go. Do you get the point? You're going to be shaken with it. And so let go now. Start to find your comfort in Him. That's the way we're going to not only survive, but thrive. And lastly, Hebrews... Through to the end, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When things have been shaken, it's time to honour our leaders, to stick close to them. But you know, more than anything else, I am not the senior pastor, the lead elder of this church. For those of you who got that wrong, Jesus Christ is. He is the leader. I'm just the under. PJ and Roy and I, we're just the understudies. We're the supporting act. He is the senior pastor, the lead of this church, and it's time to stick to Him because He cannot be shaken. It's time to run to Him, stick to Him, to be led by Him, to get close to Him. Four principles, things that we should do. In this time when the nation is shaken, I believe this is going to be a phenomenal year. I believe that God is going to move in ways, and He's promised to move in ways that we have never seen before. As things that are false gods are shaken and fall, things of the true God are going to rise to the surface. We're going to see things that we have never, ever seen before. It is going to be exciting. Let's get ready for it, shall we?